My name is Mitchell Richards. I am 33 years old. Today is December 1st, 2019.
2018.
I'm speaking with Chelsea Richards, who is my wife. We're recording this interview in Austin, Texas.
Wait, do I need to say what I am?
I already introduced you.
Oh no, but I'm 30 years old.
But it's all the same stuff.
I guess, yeah. Everything else is the same. I'm 30.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child? Oh, and that's Nagby in the background, the jingles.
I was a very active kid. I hated sitting down, and I always complained to my mother about being bored, because sitting still made me feel bored. So, anything I could do outside, I would do outside. And I grew up on a farm, so we had a lot of animals, and I spent time playing with my sisters and all of our animals.
How has your life been different than you had? Than how you imagined it would be when you were young?
When I was young, I thought I was going to be a veterinarian. Like, not just a normal veterinarian, but like Dr. Doolittle. Because I spent a lot of time talking to animals, and I thought they could hear me and listen and know what I was saying. So I thought I was going to be like just someone with lots of animals and talking. I remember when I was in high school, one of my friends, who's like very academic and not super sporty, she said to me something like, "Oh, well, promise me you just won't grow up to be a PE teacher." And as it turns out, that's really what I like doing.
Pretty close
to what I do. I'm not always a PE teacher, but I just can't imagine sitting still all day.
Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you ever did in your life?
Dumbest thing? As a child?
In your life.
In my life. The one I think of right now is, Mom and Dad were packing for a family trip to Mexico, and they used the guest bedroom to like spread everything out, and Mom was labeling things with Sharpie markers, permanent markers, and so they had taken a break or something, and I walked into the room, and I was probably 4 or 5, I guess. How old is a kid when they can write? Yeah. And I grabbed a black marker that happened to be a Sharpie, and I went over to the corner of the room, and I wrote my name and my phone number. And it's pretty hard to hide what you did if you just sign your name to it. So, Mom and Dad were not pleased. Got a stern talking to that time.
I love the story. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
Maybe it's just because I saw the photo the other day. But when we dressed up as the Grinch and Cindy Lou Who for the Sandridge Santa Run in Oklahoma City, probably like 5 years ago, maybe?
It was right before we went to Peru. No. Yeah.
Was it?
I think so, because I remember we were like, oh, we're going to get that money and we're going to use it on vacation. But I don't know if it was Peru or
something else.
I think it was Peru.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty early on.
Yeah. And so we went, like, all out on our costumes. And you especially, because, like, I just bought a onesie and put my hair up like Cindy Lou Who. Not super difficult, but you were like,
I mean,
super craft man. And
it was all handmade.
Yeah, you made the Santa suit, you painted your face green, you had like these long, you used pipe cleaners and feathers to make the long fingers of the Grinch. We even wrapped a present, a fake present. Mm-hmm. It was just an empty box that we had as a prop.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran the whole 5K dressed like that. And then we got back for the costume contest. And we, like, eyed everybody up and realized that, like, we definitely had maybe the best, if not the second best costume there. Like, for sure we were going to win something. And the prize was pretty good, if I recall.
It was, like, a few hundred dollars, I
thought. Yeah, I want to say it was, like, $500.
It was right before we went to New York.
Oh.
It was that very first Christmas
we
had.
Trip.
Yeah. And we went to New York because I remember, like, oh, we're going to New York.
We'll
use a few hundred dollars just to help it out.
And then.
So this was 2013?
Yeah, probably.
The year that we met?
I think so. And so.
Because we got Nagby.
So we went down the.
2012.
We, like, did the whole thing. We even thought of, like, okay, I'll skip down, like, it was sort of like a runway thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'll skip down the runway with the present, and I'll pose with the present, and then you'll sneak up behind me and snatch it and, like, snarl like the Grinch. And we had it all down, and it was great. And then they were naming prizes, and the kid that ended up, there were a couple of families. There was one family that beat us that was awkward family photo.
That was a good one.
And it was a good one. Respect to them.
And they also ran the race with it.
So they did.
The whole
frame. They had a frame and they had ugly sweaters and they were all looking awkwardly in different directions and it was fantastic. But then there was a little girl who I don't think she even realized she was in a contest and she was only wearing like a leotard and a tutu and she was like the ice princess or something.
Snow princess.
And it was silly. And she ended up winning prize money over us, and I was just so angry. We didn't even get third place. I don't know who the other person was that won.
I don't remember either.
But since then, we've like really limited our dressing up. But aside from that, I know this is a long answer, but I also think that the trip we took to California, when we flew into LA and then we drove up Highway 1 and we like stayed in different places and we camped a little and we stayed in Airbnbs and we hiked and we went to a hockey game and just explored some cities, that was like, it's like such a good balance of a vacation for us. So I really like that too.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life? It's a hard switch.
Yeah. Most difficult moments in my life?
Yeah.
Probably... I mean, parents getting divorced is like the one that sticks out the most.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my sisters were already in college and it happened. They separated like right before my senior year spring break and it just like kind of seeing your parents as adults going through it like as myself like I was already 18 so there weren't any custody issues or anything like that but just seeing like starting to view my parents as closer to an equal than not, I guess, and seeing how they managed it and how it affected the family, and I think like figuring out my own feelings from it too. I think I still really struggle with relationships, especially with my dad, because of it. It's probably good.
Is there anything you want to ask me that you have never asked me before? And there are a few, like, I have a few questions as cushions, so if you want to, if you can't think of anything, we can skip it.
I can't think of anything offhand.
Is there anything you want to ask me that you've never asked me before?
Your dad does not have a mustache.
He used to, though.
No, I can't think of anything right now. Okay.
Thinking about your family many generations from now and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them? Any wisdom or advice you would like to share?
Getting teary-eyed from this one. Let's see. I think I would share something that my grandma said to me. Grandma Miller, Dad's mom. And it's, don't do anything you want to tell your grandma about. Not like sage advice, maybe, but just like, you know, be a respectable human being and and don't be ashamed of what you do or why you do it. And yeah, I think that's the advice I think of.
What are the keys to a strong relationship?
Communication. Verbal communication. Can't be that specific.
Something might disagree with you.
Yeah. I would say don't assume. Not assuming anything. And or maybe the better part or the better way to say it is assume positive intent. And just like once you decide to love someone unconditionally, like do it. There's no like ifs once you make the commitment. It's like they're part of you and you're part of them, and yeah, that's what I would say.
How did you meet your husband or partner?
Well, I was working at a nonprofit in Oklahoma City, and I started playing on their soccer team, like adult league rec soccer team, and one of my coworkers asked if I would help his team with positioning on the field, and so I agreed to help, thinking they were like older middle school kids that had played soccer for a while, and I got to a practice and I realized that the kids I was helping couldn't even really tie their own shoes yet. So anyway, I coached with him for about a season before Mitchell's team, who he was volunteer coaching in the same league, ended up combining with ours, and so I met him a couple times at a soccer practices before I asked him if he wanted to go to the storytelling festival in Oklahoma City. And he wasn't sure if it was a date or not. I think you called Paul and you were like, I don't know what this is.
So, yeah.
Is it a date? Do I go? Do I not go?
That's pretty good.
It was great. And we went to the storytelling festival and we talked for like probably 2 hours afterwards in the car.
That's when we knew it was a date.
It wasn't until after.
Figured it out.
Yeah. Oh, and the storytelling festival had one of our favorite singer-songwriters, Steve Pultz. And it's really fun because every time he's in town, wherever we live, we try and go see him play. And he's wacky and quirky and creative. And I think, you know, while I didn't say that in the relationship part of this interview, I think that's a important part, too, of relationships. Being yourself. Even if yourself is wacky and creative and quirky.
Can you tell me the story of how you got engaged?
Yes. I knew it was coming. I knew something was coming because Mitch and I had talked about getting married and we knew it wasn't like a big secret. And he got, I think I knew you had the ring too, right?
Because I remember I was at your dad's house. It was over Christmas. We were visiting him over Christmas. And I remember that I had sold some art pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There was like an art show right before Christmas, before we went down to Dallas. And I had sold a bunch and made more money than I was expecting. And so I went. I had also just quit my job, I think.
Yeah.
Or was about to. And I went online and bought a ring with the money I made selling art.
Yeah.
And I remember, I was at my dad's house.
Yeah.
You were at your dad's house.
Yeah, we were separate.
We were separated. And I remember being in my dad's upstairs and sending you a text saying that I just bought a ring, even though I had like just bought it.
Couldn't keep that a secret.
I couldn't keep it in.
Yeah.
I was planning on not saying anything, but then
yeah.
The distance got the best of me.
In January, Mitch had called my boss at Infant Crisis Services, Joe Jones. Called Joe and asked if he could take one of my vacation days, two of my vacation days. And he went, we were on our way to a soccer game or something. And I said something about, I need to get this because we're having a party for a coworker tomorrow. And Mitch was like, well, no, you don't. And I said, what do you mean? And then he said, well, you need to pack a bag instead. And so I knew something was coming, but I still didn't know what. And so we got in the car the next morning and we started driving west on I-40 from Oklahoma City. And I was like, oh, we're going to Santa Fe, aren't we? And this was probably by the time we got to Amarillo. And we'd gone to Santa Fe a couple times before that, maybe one or two times, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been a good place for us to go and relax and decompress. And he was like, nope, we're not going to Santa Fe. And then I kind of was thinking, I'd heard Mitch tell stories about going to the Grand Canyon in the past and how it brought a lot of clarity. And so then I looked at him and said, we're going to the Grand Canyon, aren't we? And he just smiled and said, yeah. And so then I knew we were going to the Grand Canyon, and I kind of figured he was going to propose. So we drive 8 hours for 2 days, and we make it to the Grand Canyon in the afternoon. Yeah, afternoon, because the next morning we woke up and went back to the Grand
Canyon.
So in the afternoon, and we're kind of walking around, and Mitch was like, oh, hang on, I'm going to go get a map or something. And I thought that's what he was doing, because I kind of figured he'd wait until the next day to propose. I don't know. But then he walked back over to me, and it turns out he was just adjusting the ring in his pocket, like making sure it was in the right spot. And he started the question with, how long have we been together? Or something like that. You're like, Chelsea, how long have we been together? And I was like, I don't know, 3 years or something like that. And then he lowered to one knee and he started talking, but it started crying right away too. And he pulled out the ring and asked if I would marry him. And I said yes. And kissed him, stood up, and... Oh, and then, right after that, right when we got to the Grand Canyon, it was, super foggy. And then you couldn't even see the other side of the canyon. And then right after that, the fog lifted, and you could see, for miles. And it was beautiful. It's a good moment. And then we went and ate at Pancho McGillicuddy's that night.
Pancho McGillicuddy's, the Mexican...
Italian restaurant.
Irish.
No, Mexican. Yeah, Mexican.
The Irish Mexican restaurant / brewery.
Someplace near the Grand Canyon, near Flagstaff or something.
Yeah, I can't remember where it was. When did you know that he was the one?
On the first date. I think it was so clear. I remember, after our first date, I went home for a weekend because I was coaching and my team was playing in Dallas, and I was telling my mom all about Mitch and how excited I was, and And she looked at me and she said, "Chelsea, are you in love?" And I immediately denied it. But turns out mom knows best. And yep, that's when I knew.
Can you tell me about your wedding day? Or your
and?
Two separate questions.
Okay.
Can you tell me about your honeymoon? Sorry, your wedding day.
Man, the wedding day was awesome. The wedding weekend was awesome. On the wedding day, we started with a kickball game in the park right behind our house in Oklahoma City. And we had a bride's team and a groom's team, and the groom's team won. But it was a lot of fun. I think anyone that knows both of us knows like how we just like to play games, have fun, be active, and spend time outside. And are you blocking the...
I'm assuming that there's a microphone here.
Somewhere.
I'm just trying to block
it. I hope it's recording, for real. and so yeah, we played kickball. It was a blast. And then went and got ready at a hotel with my sisters and my mom, and then got married in downtown Oklahoma City on Film Row. And we had probably the shortest ceremony ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
My brother did it.
Oh, Mitch's brother Matt was the
officiant.
Officiant. I forgot my bouquet of flowers when I walked down the aisle. We had practiced it the day before, and my plan was to hand the flowers to mom to hold during the ceremony. And then I realized when I got to mom at the end of the aisle that I forgot my flowers. So we laughed, and I gave her a hug, and then both my sisters read at the wedding, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had barbecue, and Mitch's dad changed to jeans right away.
I think he changed his shorts, didn't he?
Was it? I don't remember. And then we danced a lot.
Maybe it's just
and
jeans.
Our good friend Will Gaines provided the band, or he was the band, with a couple other girls. It was really fun, and then we took a pedicab back to the Ambassador. And the next day, we had a breakfast that Pat and Fred, my aunt and uncle, hosted in Oklahoma City, where everybody was invited, and we just quickly said hello and goodbye to everyone, and then we took off for the Galapagos. And we spent 7 days on probably the best vacation we've ever been on, or ever will go on, exploring 3 different islands with a small group of other tourists. And we hiked and snorkeled and scuba dived and ate good food.
Mm-hmm. Saw a ton of different animals.
Tortoises.
Penguins.
Flamingos. Iguanas.
The black marine iguanas.
The frigate birds.
Did you say hammerhead?
Hammerheads.
Just tons of fish.
Sea lions, lots of sea lions.
Mm-hmm.
And
Finches,
yeah. Yeah, it was so fun. I think we're planning to go back for our 10-year or...
I say we make it 5.
5-year, something like that.
Share your favorite story about your wife, husband. Oh, I think we already did that.
Yeah.
Share some lessons you have learned from your or our relationship.
That you can love a person with a different energy level than you. Oh, it sounds silly, but I don't consider myself an extrovert I like to be loud and have attention, but I like to talk, and I recharge by being with people, and by being outside and exercising and being active. And Mitch is very different, and he recharges by being in a quiet space and with some free time, and not necessarily with other people. And it took me a long time to learn that, and it's like really important if you want to function as a, you know, to your full potential, that you have the energy you need to do that. So I think that's probably the most important thing I've learned in the last 3 to 5 years. And then just like learning about mental health, and not just energies, but just learning about how to care for each other and how to communicate how to care for each other. Because I think if I looked back to when we first met, I blamed myself for a lot of things when, like, I think it's just really clear that there's a science to mental health, and it's an important part. Like, you can't just ignore it or sweep it under the rug or not talk about it. And yeah.
How would you like to be remembered? I think this is the last question.
Geez, well, kids or grandkids, whoever's listening, or my husband for his project at school. There's a show called The Good Place. I've been watching it recently with Mitch. And long story short, I hope that I'm remembered for being kind, probably first, and understanding, but also for, I think, being genuine, and, like, assertive is the wrong word, but I guess courageous. Maybe. Probably. Yeah.